God builds no churches by His plan. That labor has been left to man. No spires miraculously arise, no little mission from the skies falls on the bleak and barren place to be the source of strength and grace. The humblest church demands its price in human toil and sacrifice. Men call the church the house of God, toward which the toil-stained pilgrims trod, in search of strength and rest and hope, as blindly through life's mists they grope. And there God dwells, but it is man who builds that house and draws its plan. Pays for the mortar and the stone, that none need seek for God alone. The humblest spire in mortal ken, where God abides, was built by men. And if the church is still to grow, is still the light of hope to throw, across the valley of despair, men still must build God's house of prayer. God sends no churches from the skies. Out of our hearts and from our labor, they must arise. East Main Street Baptist Church was organized on April 14th, 1896, out of the Hope Mission Sunday School class. Today, that is Loomis Park Baptist Church that we are in. Thank God and praise His wonderful name for these 118 years plus of people that have been faithful and dedicated themselves to the work of God here at Loomis Park Baptist Church. So named on October 29th, 1913. 118 years later, Loomis Park Baptist Church, you precious people, this preacher still stands for old time religion. Amen. Of the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. In our text, Malachi chapter 3, it almost reads like a prophetic description of America, but it took place in 397 BC. Malachi, which means my messenger, prophesies of a period of return from the 70-year Babylonian captivity that most of us Bible students know about. Amen. What had happened was God's people had not obeyed Him. They had not kept the Sabbath. They had not let the land rest every seventh year. And for 490 years, they thought they could disobey God and get away with it. Yeah. Let me just tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You and I can never disobey God and get away with it. God proved that by allowing a heathen nation to come in and to take His people captive. Well, now they're returning from those 70 years. And there was a revival. There was a religious revival that had taken place amongst God's people. But then, the people, as so many times that happens after a revival, became religiously indifferent, morally lax. And God rebukes His people fourfold. He rebukes them for their religiosity, if we would say. They were just going through the motions. He rebukes them for their moral looseness. He rebukes them for their social makeup and their materialism. And the response of the people can be seen in their argumentative replies to the prophet's assessments. Look back in Malachi with me if you would. Look at chapter 1, verse 2. God says in chapter 1, verse 2, I have loved you, saith the Lord. By the way, that ought to be enough right there. God so loved the world and you and I are part of it. Amen. He says to His people, I have loved you, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Look over at verse number 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts upon you, O priests that despise my name? And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? It continues in verse number 7. Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? Jump down to verse number 17 of chapter 2. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? Chapter 3, verse 7. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Over and over, ladies and gentlemen, their responses were the same. They doubted His love, despite His election of them, His provision for them, and very, very recently, ladies and gentlemen, His restoration of them from captivity. They still doubted His love. Wherein hast thou loved us? They despised His name, according to verses 6 and 7 of chapter 1. They offered polluted bread and damaged sacrifices, which God had commanded. Listen, if you're going to offer something to God, offer your best. Amen. God's not a spare tire that we just pull out when we need Him. He wants us to give us, to give Him His... By the way, that's one of the reasons why we meet on the first day of the week. It's the very best day. It's the day He chose to rise from the dead. But He talked about how they despised His name. They would bring lambs that had broken limbs, and they would bring bread that had been polluted with leaven. And He said, you despise my name. You know what else they did? They defiled His covenant. In chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, it talks about here how this man hath put away the wife of his youth. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, can I just say this? God still hates putting away. What is that? That's divorce. By the way, He doesn't hate divorced people. Come on, church. He doesn't hate divorced people. But He sure hates divorce. Why? Because I can tell you this with a surety. There's one thing that occasions every divorce. Sin. Selfishness on the part of one or the other. So they doubted His love. They despised His name. They defiled His covenant. And really, in our chapter, ladies and gentlemen, we find out they disobeyed His word, didn't they? They disobeyed His word. Our key verse today is verse number 16 of chapter 3. Would you look at it with me, please? Look in the Bible with me, please. And it says there, and this is, I'm telling you, this is like a ray of sunshine right here. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened or heard. And heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. So in the midst of this moral looseness, in the midst of this just simple religiosity, just going through the motions, in the midst of social breakdown, in the midst of materialism, there was still a people of God. Could we look at our world today and say, ladies and gentlemen, especially, listen, especially you senior saints, seasoned saints, our world is spiraling out of control in a fashion and at a speed which has never been equaled. But there's still a people. Listen to me. God still has His crowd. And by the way, it's pretty important. You're one of God's people. You're not better than anybody else, but I will tell you this, you're pretty important. How do you know, Pastor? Well, there's a little verse that God chose to write in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 9. Let me read it to you. It says, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. What was God saying there? As the prophet Isaiah was writing and things were going bad, God said this, it was because of God's people that I didn't destroy the land. The title of the message today is called My Crowd. And really, it's God saying, I have my crowd. I have my crowd. Vance Havger wrote this, even in that desolate and desperate time, God had His crowd. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, there has never been an hour so dismal that God did not have His crowd. And all God's people said. Amen. Back in the day when there were giants, and the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and went in unto them, and giants were born of them. And God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great, and God said, I'm going to flood the earth. But the Bible says, but Noah found grace. You know what? Noah was part of God's crowd. Noah was part of God's crowd. Oh, you go to a different time, and you remember the period of the judges. And by the way, to my friends, and I'm right there with you that believe in the Second Amendment, go back to Judges and find out what the Philistines did to God's people. I'll tell you exactly what they did to them. They disarmed them. Yeah. And then they ruled them. And there was old Gideon back there behind the threshing floor like this. Threshing, and God said to him, thou mighty man of valor. And he said, who, me? And what happened? The thousands went out with Gideon, and God whittled them down to 300. Why? By the way, because God can save by few or many. God had His crowd, Gideon and his 300. Oh, God had Jotham. When Abimelech slew all the brothers, you remember that story, all 70, Jotham got away. Hey, you remember Elijah? When Elijah was all by himself at the brook Cherith and Baal was being worshipped everywhere, God had His crowd. By the way, wasn't it good for Elijah when he got a little self-pity like we all do from time to time? So I'm the only one standing for you. And God said, oh, no. I have 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. God has His crowd. God says, I have my crowd. I have my crowd. How about John the Baptist? How about Jeremiah, who was willing, by the way, his whole ministry, not one convert, was willing to be sunk into the mire, the filth. Because why? God said, I've got my crowd. How about old Micaiah? When Ahab wanted Jehoshaphat there, they wanted an answer. And Jehoshaphat said, listen, we need to ask Micaiah. And old Ahab said, well, I hate him. He never prophesies good. God's got His crowd. By the way, it's nice to see that being hated by the world is part of being God's crowd. Yes. On and on we could go. The disciples, the churches. How about Christians during the dark ages? Brother Sam is doing the series on the King James Bible. Thank God for that. You're going to learn about how Christians paid the ultimate price so that you and I could have this book to read once a week. No, that's not why they paid that price. So that we could have it and live our lives by it. God has His crowd. I think we could see some things from the Scriptures today. God would say, my crowd is the crowd, number one. They're the ones that, number one, that love me. That's my crowd. That's my crowd, God would say. They're the ones that love me. 1 John 4:19 tells us that we love Him because He first loved us. Oh, what is that crowd? My crowd. They're the ones that love me. And they show it by, number one, talking to me. Before you left your room today, did you think to pray, the song says. You know what praying is? Talking to God. Yeah. Talking to Him. I'll tell you what, if you've got a friend, you like talking to him.
Right.
I'll go even further. If you love somebody, you talk to them a lot. My wife and I, back when phones used to have cords, we owned AT&T on Sunday nights. I'm telling you, I don't know, looked at that bill and said, oh my goodness, we got to stop. Why? Why? Because we were in love with each other. Yeah. Hey, listen, that hasn't changed. If you love God, you'll talk to Him. Maybe it's just that religiosity, just putting on the outward show for everybody else to see. Well, listen, boy, God says, my crowd's the crowd that love me.
Yeah.
They talk to me. You know what else they do? They not only talk to me, they listen to me. Romans 10:17, ladies and gentlemen, you know it. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know what you do? When you pray, you talk to God. Hey, listen here. When you read the Word of God, you listen to God.
Yeah. Amen.
He talks to you. You say, well, He doesn't talk out loud. No, He doesn't talk out loud. And He hadn't talked out loud since He talked to John on the Isle of Patmos. But He speaks through His Word. And we've got the author inside of us. He helps us to understand. He illuminates it to us. God, by the way, God wants to talk to you. God wants to talk to you and I. Boy, if we don't crack this book, if we just let it get dusty each week, are we really in love with Him? He loves us no matter what. By the way, and all God's people said, He loves us no matter what. But my crowd is the crowd that loves me. They talk to me. They listen to me. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. They obey me. They obey me. So I don't like obeying. It's okay. Jesus said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. That, by the way, it's a pretty easy way to be the friend of God. Just do what He says. Some things are so clear in the Word of God. I think of the issue of our day, ladies and gentlemen, and it really is. It's amazing how it just keeps rearing up. The issue of our day, same-sex issues, same-sex marriage. The issue of it's so clear, you'd have to pour mud all over this book to muddy that up. And even then, you could scrape it off and still see where it says male and female. Just obey Him. When it's clear, don't make it muddy. Amen. It's clear. I think about the issue of booze, of drink. My heavens, it's so clear in the Bible. Just stay away from it. Stay away from it. Why? Because nobody ever got drunk who didn't take their first drink.
Yeah.
Clear. Just clear. Those that obey me. Those that listen to me. Those that talk to me. How about those that love my children, which are our spiritual brothers and sisters? What does God say in 1 John 4:21? He said, if you hate your brother and say you love God, you know what you are? You're a liar. Liar. I'll tell you what, that's pretty stout. I didn't say it. John said it. Amen. And the Holy Spirit told him to say it. What's the crowd that loves me? My crowd. They love me. They talk to me. They listen to me. They obey me. They love my children. You know what else they do? They hate sin. Brother Lowell and I were talking at the campground this week. It's hard, ladies and gentlemen, to take a stand against sin. It's hard to strike the balance of standing against sin and loving sinners, isn't it? Because you know what sinners do? They upset us. But you know what we are? Go ahead, you can say it. Sinners. Sinners. You know what we do sometimes? We upset. You know what He wants us to be? Long-suffering. But boy, it's hard to walk that balance, isn't it? To stand strong. I want to. If I read something this morning, he said, what will people say about you when you die? I hope they'll say about me, he stood against sin. I hope they'll say that. Hope they'll say he stood against sin, but also that he loves sinners. The Bible says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. Psalm 97:10. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're not supposed to coddle evil. We're not supposed to pet evil. We're not supposed to affirm that which is evil. We're supposed to call it what it is.
Amen.
Evil. Yep. Sin. Wrecks people's lives. Sends people to hell. What's my crowd, God says? My crowd is the crowd that loves me. What is that crowd? They show it by talking to me, listening to me, obeying me, loving my children, hating sin. Number two, not only is my crowd the crowd that loves me. My crowd is the crowd that gathers with me. Not only is my crowd the crowd that loves me, my crowd is the crowd that gathers with me. Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three are gathered, there am I where? In the midst. You know, wherever two or three Christians gather, and by the way, I'm glad for two or three, and I'm glad for the 160 or so that are here this morning. Wherever those Christians gather together, God is there. Hebrews 10:25 tells us, ladies and gentlemen, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. My crowd is the crowd that gathers with me. Can I just elaborate on that a little bit? My crowd are the crowd that gathers with me in my house. In my house. You say, well, does the Bible call the church the house of God? It certainly does. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're gathering today under direct orders from Jesus Christ. This is a command. Gather together. And so that crowd that loves me, that crowd that gathers with me, they gather in my house. They gather often. They gather to encourage my children. Sometimes we don't realize it when we miss church. And I don't think we have a lot of people in our church that lay out. There's some, maybe. I don't know. I try not to go there. Amen. If you're not here, I pray for you. I pray you're not feeling well. You must be working. Something like that. Because charity thinketh no evil. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, you think about that. We gather, why? To encourage one another. Yeah. Love this guy right here. Comes on our bus. You guys, love you. Come on the bus. You're encouragement to me. Encourage me. Young men like this want to come to church. Hey, how much more? By the way, when you're not here, you know what? Somebody is not encouraged by your presence. Say, well, what about me getting the encouragement? Listen, I promise you it's a two-way street if you show. I promise you it is. I get encouraged by you. You get encouraged by me. I've often said I've never had the courage yet to do it. And that is stay back there till about 5 of 12 one Sunday and have everybody go, where's the preacher? Where's the preacher? And I thought I'd come out and just say, well, I thought it was okay because other people did it. Huh? It's not okay when you do. Certainly not okay when I do it. I'd have to face the wrath of the deacons. Amen? No, it's not okay, period. Why? Because, listen, my crowd's the crowd that gathers with me. Why? To encourage my children. The verse before Hebrews 10:25 is verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Boy, I look at somebody and they're having a rough day, and I can put my hand on their shoulder and say, aren't you glad for God's love today? Aren't you glad that He never leaves you nor forsakes you? Why? That can't happen if you're not here. Can't happen if I'm not here. There's a crowd that loves me. That's my crowd. My crowd is the crowd that gathers with me. How about this? Number three. My crowd is the crowd that loves me. My crowd is the crowd that gathers with me. My crowd is the crowd that gives me the preeminence in their lives. Colossians 1:18 says that in all things He might have the preeminence. Pastor, what does that mean? That means that we would give Jesus Christ first place in our lives. How's that shown, Pastor? I'll tell you how it's shown. It's shown in our decisions. The decisions we make. It's shown in our duties. When we look at this book and we know what it says, do we put Jesus Christ first in our lives? Decisions are due. How about in our deeds, ladies and gentlemen? The things we do tell us whether Jesus Christ has the preeminence or not. By the way, can I say this with you? Sometimes I don't like the fact that those things reveal who really has the preeminence, because it's not always who it should be. Sometimes it's this guy, and it shouldn't be. Amen. It should be him. My crowd is the crowd that gives me the preeminence in their lives. They allow me to have first place in their life. Mark 8, 34, 35 talks about giving Him place. How about number four? My crowd's the crowd that loves me. My crowd's the crowd that gathers with me. My crowd's the crowd that gives me the preeminence in their life. My crowd is the crowd that trusts me. That's not easy, is it? It's even less easy if you're not saved. But it starts with trusting Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that's you today, you're trusting Him. My crowd is the crowd that trusts me. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Ira Sankey wrote that great hymn, Trusting Jesus. Simply trusting every day. Trusting through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly. Trusting as the days go by. Trusting Jesus. See, my crowd is the crowd that trusts me. You know, when I think of somebody that in the Bible that exhibited absolute trust in God, was it not Job? What did he say? In Job 13:15, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. My heavens. God, give us faith like that. God, give us trust like that. That if the entire world fell apart, that we'd still believe that black book in our laps today. Amen. By the way, that's the battle today. All the other stuff is fluff on top. The battle is to discount and discredit that book. That's the battle. Why? It's the first thing that happened. What did Satan say in the garden? Yea, hath God said. That's the battle. My crowd is the crowd that trusts me. That places their faith in me. That knows I'm going to take care of them. Number five. My crowd is the crowd that stands for me. My crowd is the crowd that stands for me. There's a great verse in the book of Jude, verse 3. It tells us to earnestly contend for the faith. When I was a young person, I used to go with my dad to the Golden Gloves boxing in Holyoke, Massachusetts. It was a rough area. Absolutely right, man. That's right. Amen. And I'm telling you what, those guys were fantastic fighters. Some of them went on. But we would watch them, and you know what they would do for 3 minutes at a time? They were earnestly contending, weren't they?
Yeah.
I had another young man in my church. He was in my youth group. He was a wrestler at 130 pounds. Anybody ever been to a wrestling meet before? I'm telling you what, I was the first one I ever went to. And here I am, I'm 37 years old. I'd never been to a wrestling meet before. Now, I'm not talking about WWE for all you people that think, if you people think that's real, I got some Colorado oceanfront property to sell you, amen? I'm talking about the real kind, amen? And I watched this young man from our church, 130 pounds, and he got up there and he was really scrawny. It's amazing, some wrestlers are like this and then other kids are, he was really scrawny. And he got out ahead. He got out about, I think he was up about 5-1 after 30 seconds. And then he had to stall without stalling. Because you get points taken away if you stall. And it was a work of art to watch. But I watched him, and it was amazing. Every vein in that kid's head was popping out. He was as red as a tomato, and he was just contending. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way we're supposed to be for the truths of that book.
Amen.
Supposed to earnestly contend. I think about the days that are coming for the church. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. There's coming a day soon where you're not going to get a tax break for your giving. The question is, are you still going to give?
Yeah.
That's the question. There's going to come a day where we're going to have to pay property taxes on these 42 acres.
Yep.
And you know why that is? Because this preacher is going to say we ought to obey God rather than men.
That's right.
And we're going to preach the truths of that book whether the government likes it or not.
Amen. Right.
That book is listen, that book existed a long time before the United States of America and its government, and it'll exist a long time afterwards. Forever. Amen.
Amen.
The question is, are we going to earnestly contend for the faith? You know, it's easy in a group like this to contend for the faith. But how about when we're outside of these walls? Do we stand? See, my crowd is the crowd that stands for me. Peter stood. He wasn't obstinate. He just said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they treated the king with the respect that he deserved, but they said this, we're not bowing, we're not bending, even if we burn. But if not, my crowd is the crowd that stands for me. My crowd is the crowd that tells others about me. This is the convicting point right here, ladies and gentlemen. All these other things are great, but God gave us a message to take out into the world. It's the reason why we have gospel tracts. It's the reason why we have Vacation Bible School. It's the reason why we have Missions Conference. It's the reason why we have visitation every Saturday. It's the reason why we do everything at this church. To bring men and women, families, boys and girls. It's the reason we run a bus. To bring them to Jesus Christ. To bring the message to them or to bring them in to hear the message. See, my crowd is the crowd that tells others about me. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Lastly this morning, my crowd is the crowd that loves me. My crowd is the crowd that gathers with me. My crowd is the crowd that gives me the preeminence in their lives. My crowd is the crowd that trusts me. My crowd is the crowd that stands for me. My crowd is the crowd that tells others about me. Lastly, my crowd is the crowd that patiently waits for me. Some of you have been saved 20, 30, 40, 50 years. 60 years, 70. Anybody been saved more than 70 years here today? Almost. 65? Brother Horace, amen, Brother Jordan. 60. Do you know what? You know what you've been doing all these years and what we've all been doing? Just patiently waiting for Him. Yeah. We see the world spiraling down. And by the way, I get a little discouraged. I want to tell you this. I get a little angry. But you know what? I go to the Word of God and it says, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Close with this. There's a story that's told of a home for mentally challenged people. And by the way, if you've ever had an opportunity to be around people like that, they're precious.
Amen.
They really are. God allowed them to have that childlike innocence that we all wish we could still have. Amen. And the story was told of a preacher who would faithfully go in and minister to those precious people. And I've had dealings with those classes before. I used to drive bus for a fella in our church in Pontiac, Michigan. He took that class, and I'm telling you what, those people are funny. They're funny. There was one, they weren't a husband and wife, but they thought they were, you know. And she would come in, and she'd have lipstick draped all the way over to here. And he'd come in with his tie crooked over here. And I'd say, hey, she coming today? And she came on a different bus. He'd go. And he'd come out and he'd hold the door for her. And there she was. And, you know, lipstick everywhere. And just, it was great. It was just great. This preacher would come in and he would talk to those folks. And he would tell them about the Lord. And one day he preached a message entitled, Behold, He Cometh with Clouds. Boy, they got excited. They went, Miss Carol Ann, they went right over to the window. And they looked. And they say, He come today. He come today. Clouds, He come today. One day, preacher was preaching. And they went over to the window and it was a cloudless day. And they began to cry, Brother Holy. Big tears. Why? He no come today. He no come today. No clouds. You know what we're doing, folks? We're patiently waiting. We're patiently waiting. I don't know about you. I've had heaven on my mind a lot lately this week. Brother Jim, Brother Jack, I've had heaven on my mind a lot. I know a lot of people there. The longer I live, the more people I know up there. He's going to come, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
You know what he told us in James chapter 5? Be patient. You see, and he gave the harvest illustration. He said, the Lord of the harvest, he patiently waits for the fruit.
Amen.
The early and the latter rain. And when it's ready, he takes it home. My crowd is the crowd that patiently waits for you. Waits for him. You know what? I'm glad I'm part of his crowd.
Amen.
Could I love him more?
Amen.
You can say amen to that. Oh, I could talk to him more. Sometimes I feel I know he loves me, but I feel like, boy, I don't love him like he should, like I should. I don't talk to him that much. I get busy doing things of the ministry. I go back to the chapter in Malachi chapter 3, talk about the religiosity. You know what? This is not sanctified right here. And neither is this.
Right.
Now, I think you ought to wear both, men.
Amen.
Amen. I think you ought to come dressed appropriately to God's house. Just wear the best you got. If what you got's what you got, as long as it's ironed.
Amen.
But I'll tell you what, we can get in the mode of religion, can't we?
Yes.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Oh, let's love Him. He loves us. Like a father loves a child. My crowd is the crowd that loves me. My crowd is the crowd that gathers with me. By the way, we'll be gathering tonight.
Amen.
We'll be gathering tonight. We'll be gathering Wednesday. We'll be gathering for Sunday school next week. My crowd is the crowd that gathers with me. My crowd is the crowd that gives me preeminence in their decisions, in their duties, in their deeds. My crowd is the crowd that trusts me, places their faith not only in me for salvation, but to sustain them through life. My crowd is the crowd that stands for me. My crowd is the crowd that tells others about me. And my crowd is the crowd that patiently waits for me. Father,